Good morning. Today we're going to begin the halachos of Eshayol, the responsibilities when you borrow something from a neighbor. This is one of the Dalet Shaimrim, and it is probably the most common. Neighbors are constantly borrowing things, whether it's a hammer, a pen, or whatever it is. And the question is, what are his responsibilities? Now, have we spoken before? We began with halachos of Eshayol Merchinam. Someone who's watching something, he's a volunteer, he's not getting paid for it. So, you get what you pay for. Because he's volunteering, he has minimal liability. He's only responsible if he's negligent. The next level was a Shomer Sachar. If you're actually getting paid to watch it, so if you're being paid, you have a higher level of responsibility. And a Shomer Sachar is Chayev on Geneva Aveda. If it gets lost or if it gets stolen, he's going to be responsible to pay. However, if it's nenas, if it's oines, something happens which is beyond his control, there even a shomer sachar is going to be pater. A shoyo, if you borrow something, so there the Gemara says, it's kol hano shaloi. You have all the benefits. You have the item, you're using it, there's wear and tear, you're not paying the owner anything. So this is called kol hano shaloi or rev hano shaloi, that we saw the Gemara this morning. And because of that, you have even a greater level of responsibility. And a typical shoyol is responsible for any oinus, even if it could not have been avoided, it was totally beyond his control, lightning strikes, there's nothing that he could have done to rescue the item, a shoyol is going to be responsible. The two major exceptions are the halachos of Baal Avimoy, that if when you borrow the item, the owner is doing work for you, and the halacha of Meis Machmas Malacha. If you borrow an item, you use it, and through the normal use, the item gets ruined. There, you're also going to be potter. So, but these two exceptions we're going to discuss at length over the next two shiurim. But with putting those aside, typically, a shoyol is responsible no matter what happens to the item. Now, a shoyol is a real kinyan. Say you need to go to New York. Your car is in the shop, so you knock on your neighbor's door and you say, can I please borrow your car? I have a chassan to go in New York tonight. The neighbor is a close friend. He says, sure, hands you the keys, and you drive off to your house, and you're going to leave in an hour or two. 20 minutes later, you get a frantic phone call from your neighbor that he also planned on going somewhere. He has another car. The other car just died. So he says, I need my car back because I have to go somewhere tonight. The halacha is, you can tell him nothing doing. I borrowed the car from you. The moment you gave it to me, the moment I drove it off, I made a kinyan. Once I made a kinyan, I have the right to use it. It's mine for this period of time. You don't have the right to take it back. So al pi halacha, once a shoyol takes possession of the item, the mashal, the owner, cannot say, I changed my mind, give it back to him. This may not be a way to make friends, but I'll koponim ikar hadin, once you borrow it, once you make a kinyan, it is yours until you actually use it for whatever you borrowed it for. Sure. It is the equivalent of, the way to look at it is, what happens if you rent a car? You rent a car for a day. And then an hour later, the rental agency calls you up and says, listen, our best client just called, emergency, they need a car. We're taking the car that you rented back. So there you understand. Once I rented it, once I have the car in my possession, it's mine until the end of the day. A shoyol is the same thing as a soicher, except he's not paying. You gave it to him for free. So if the owner takes it back, he's stealing. And he'd have to pay the shoyol for the use. Now, how long, this leads to an obvious question. When you borrow a car or you borrow a pen, so how long is the she'ela for? So normally the halacha is if you borrow money from someone and you don't specify the term of the loan. You say you're going through, you have a problem, you need some money, your neighbor lends you $1,000. So by a halva, the halacha is, meikar hadin, stam halva shloi shem yon. That if you don't specify how long the loan is for, the borrower can keep it for 30 days. After the 30 days, the owner can demand repayment. When it comes to a she'ela, when you're dealing with an item that you're just using and returning the item, it's the end. So there, most Paiskim say this halacha does not apply. There's no din of stam she'elo shloshim yoyim. And the owner, if you don't specify a time, the owner can more or less take it back whenever he wants, unless you borrow it for a specific purpose. If you say, I'm borrowing the car to go into New York, so you have to give him enough time to go into New York, do what people do in New York, and come back. If the Gemara has all sorts of examples, you borrow a house for a chasen, for a wedding, for or begadim, for a avelus, different examples. So in all what we do is we look at how long people typically use the item for that particular use, and until that time passes, the owner has no right to demand the item back. Now, if you borrow something to use it, you borrow a tool, you want to build something, or you borrow to work your field. So, if you borrow it and you say, "Listen, I need to plow my field. Can I borrow your plow?" The halacha is you can use it until you finish plowing one field. If you say, "I need to plow all of my fields," so the halacha is you can use it until or many of my you can use it for as many fields as you have. Now, what happens if you borrow something to say, "I needed to use it to plow fields"? You use a lashon rabbah, but you don't specify how many. You borrow a recorder, and you say, "I need to record shiurim." You know, it's a lashon rabbah, but you don't say how many. So this is already a machlokes. The Torah says that is once you say a lashon rabbah, you have the right to use it for as many as you have. It's limited. Some places can say it's limited to a year. But when you say Lashon Rabim, I need this for my fields, for my houses, a Lashon Rabim. So no matter how many houses a person has, he can use the item for each and every one of his houses. Now, the Rambam seems to argue. The Rambam says that if you use a Lashon Rabim, then that just means it's at least two. But more than that, Nechatesa. And therefore, you only have the right to use it for two. If you want to use it for more than two, you have to specify, I need it for three, I need it for five, I need it for many. But if you just say, I need it for shiurim, for fields, for houses, Lashon Rambam, there the Rambam holds you only get two. Now, the Akronim point out that if a person buys, when dealing with Mekach Lememkar, if you buy something, and for some reason the sale was consummated, the deal was, I'm selling you houses, Lashon Rambam. How many houses does the person have to give? So halacha is you only give two. Because lashon, you only give, the moicher only has to give the minimal amount. Afal pi kein, the Torah says, if you borrow something for use, or I need to paint my houses, there the Torah says you can use all of them. What's the difference? So over here, there are different shatim. Some say the difference is, it depends who's doing the talking. That when you use a lashon rabim, it's vague. It's unclear. So if the moicher says, I'm selling you houses, the moicher, we assume, meant it the use that's best for him. Since he obviously wants to give you as few as possible, we say he only means two, and you can't force him to give any more than that. Mashenken, if the borrower says, I need this item, I'm borrowing this item, I need to paint houses, so then, we assume, since the borrower is doing the one that's talking, we assume this use was the one that's best for him, and he can use it for as many houses as he has. The Nesiva says a different shot, and this is an important yisoid which will come up throughout Hilchos Sheila. He says like this: if you're buying something, and it's not clear from the contract or from the terminology what you're getting, so the moicher says, I want to give you a little. The buyer says, I'm entitled to a lot. There, what's the halacha normally? If you want the seller to give it to you, you're trying to be moitzi from the seller. The rule is hamoitzi mechivel avaraya, and therefore, if you've paid the seller and you're demanding, you want him to give you more than two, he can say no. I'm the mochzik, I'm saying I only meant two, and therefore, I don't have to give you anything more than that. That's by mekach u'memkar. What happens if you borrow something? You have the item, and now it's not clear to us how long you're entitled to keep it. Are you entitled to keep it for a week or for a month? Are you allowed to use it on one house or on two houses or more? So in that case, who's the mochzik? So the shoyel is the one that's holding on to it. And therefore, Zakhli Nesivus, and again, many other achroinim, that whenever you borrow something, since you're holding on to it, you're the muhzik, therefore, if it's a suffix, if it's unclear what your rights are, you're the muhzik and you have the right to use it for as many as you choose. Now, this is not muskim l'kol. Some rishonim argue, and they say that a muhzik normally is when you have something, you're saying that it's yours. You're saying that it's yours, it's in your possession. So if someone wants to take it away, he has the burden of proof. Over here, everyone agrees that it belongs to the owner. And everyone agrees in a year from now, it'll be back in his rishos. It's the shoyel, the borrower, only has the temporary use. And therefore, some rishonim say, when it's clear it has to go back, it's only a temporary usage, even though physically you're holding on to it, there, some rishonim say, you will not have a din of a mochzik, and adrabah, the owner will be able to say, ha-moitzi mechavel
v'raya.
It's a kinyan lizman, but since it is reverting back to the owner after a time, that's not enough to create a chazakah, to create a muhzakas. Now, you're a tafus bereshus, but now this is all by metalfalin. By karka, it's a machlokes we'll get to in schiris karka, but by karka, most places can say that it is becheskas ba'aleha, even though there's a tenant that's physically living on the property, there, since he clearly doesn't own it, there's a marikama, and therefore, by karka, most would agree that the shoyel does not have the din of a muhzik. Now, because a she'elo, because when you borrow something, it's a real kinyan, and once you've borrowed it, the owner cannot change his mind, he cannot demand it back until the term is done. So you need a ma'isa kinyan. You have to take it into your possession, you have to mashicha, agba, whatever the typical kinyanim are done in order to become a shoyel. And the same way we discussed in Hilchos Shomrim, when you become responsible for the item, by a shayol as well. Until you make a kinyan, you're not going to be responsible for the item. According to the Rosh, some Rishonim which we've discussed in the past, Siluk Shmir is enough. Once the owner leaves it under your control, even though you haven't picked it up, that's enough to be responsible for any losses. But as far as anyone wants to change their mind, if the owner wants to pull it back, he's only locked in once the borrower actually makes a kinyan. Now, what happens if the borrower takes the item and then he decides, you know what, it's too much responsibility? He hears the shir that he's chayav and any oinus, he's going to be responsible to pay no matter what happens. So he wants to give it back to the owner in middle. Can he just break the she'ela and relieve himself of responsibility? So the Machan Ephraim brings down Mukhi Yosef, that's also Machlokes Rishonim. The Machan Ephraim paskins that you cannot. That if you borrow it for 30 days or for a term, you cannot just admit, the borrower cannot unilaterally just decide, you know what, I had enough, I'm not using it anymore, I don't want to be a shayel, I don't want to be responsible. Now obviously if the owner accepts it back, that's fine, he was maskim. But if he wants to do it unilaterally, the halacha is he can't. It is a real kinyan. It's a kinyan lizman. And therefore, both parties are locked in until the end of the zman. Now, what happens in a case where a person borrows an item and he uses it? He borrows it for his zman, let's say 30 days. And then at some point he realizes he doesn't need it anymore. If he wants to return it to the owner, so we just said the Machan Ephraim says, the owner can say, no, I'm not accepting it, you have it, you're responsible for it. What happens if he is approached by another friend who says, I see you have this item, I see you've borrowed it, you don't need it anymore, lend it to me for the next week or two. So this is the halacha of whether a shoyo can be mashal it to someone else. Now we discuss in Hilchos Shomrim, if you're watching something, and you want to give it to someone else to watch, do you have the right to give it to him? No. Because the owner can say, I trusted you. I didn't trust the second person. The same thing is true by a shayel. That the owner entrusted you with the item. He didn't entrust your friend. And therefore, you do not have the right to pass it along to a third party. Zog the Rashba, that's only true by something, by metalfalin, where there's a risk. You give it to this third, whoever has it can run away with it, can disappear with it. And therefore, the owner trusted you. He didn't trust your friend. You cannot give it over to him. However, if you're dealing, let's say, with real estate, Someone allows you to use his house, his field, something which you cannot pick it up and walk away with it. So there, the Ramah paskins, there is nothing wrong with lending it out to a third party. There's no risk to the owner. It's not going anywhere. It's not movable. And therefore, since there's no risk, just like when you rent it, you have the rights to use it for this amount of time. It's yours for this period. Go for papers, whatever the kinyan is. You have the right to give it over to a third party as long as there's no additional risk. Now, you do have to be careful. You do have to be careful. The case is only when there is no risk. There's a field, and again, or you have something which is not breakable, you're not going to walk away with, there you have the right to give it over. Mashenk in a house, assuming there are items in the house, there's furniture, there are dishes, there are things that presumably a person can walk off with. So there, where there is damage, the halacha is you certainly do not have the right to take these risks with someone else's item. So in practice, it's very difficult to have a case where the Rajab's conditions are met. But in theory, at least, as long as it's something that can't disappear, you would have the right to give it over to a third party.
Now, on the flip side, one could say, if you just stop borrowing for 30 days, plus 30 days, why can't the show let somebody else borrow? There's no downside risk. He is responsible for absolutely anything that happens to that item. So if anything happens with his unborrowed, then he's still as equally responsible.
That's true. As far as dollars and cents liability, he will have to pay if anything happens. But the person who owns it doesn't want to lose the item and then get paid, reimbursed for it. He wants the item back. So he trusted you with the item, knowing that you're going to take care of it, and if anything happens, you'll pay him back. He did not necessarily trust this other person. Oh, very good. So there's a fascinating shaila. There was a bachur that borrowed an item, and a girl asked, "Can I use it?" He said, "No problem. You can use it twice, but Amanasa, you have to make he was with Kaddish her with the use of this item. So he borrowed the item and used it to be Mekadish and Isha with it. So if he was Mekadish, he didn't tell her that it was borrowed. He said, "Here, take this ring, Hareyat Mekudesh Esli," and then she finds out it's borrowed. So then there's a problem because she thought she was getting a ring. She didn't realize she has to give it back next week. So that's not a good Kedushin. Not a good idea either. But over here, she knew good and well she's using it twice and then it's going back. But what's the issue? The issue is that the boy didn't own it. He was a shayer. He had no right to lend it to her. So the fact that he did shaloi kedin doesn't mean that this is gezeila. If it's gezeila, she has no right to use it. If the owner comes, they can demand it back. Then she's not mekudeshes. On the other hand, if you hold that ein hashoyel yochel lahashel just means you're not supposed to. It's shaloi kedin, but it's not gezel. Lamaisa, you have it. You have 30 days worth of use. If you want to pass it along, it's not the right thing to do. But you're not a gazlin, then she would be mekudeshes. So the Truma Sadeshin and Simin Reish Yud says that she's Mekudeshes. You do not have a din of, she does not have a din of a goslin. You're not supposed to. If you ask a Shiloh, you're doing something wrong by passing it along, but it's not called Gzela, and therefore the Kedushin would be Chav. And the truth is, the Mechaber over here is really, really Mavur like that. The Mechaber says that if a Shiloh gives it over to a second person, and then it's Nenas, so it normally you have to pay. Because, like we said, at mehemisli b'shvua, we don't trust the second person cared for it, and therefore he's going to have to pay. However, if Adam can testify that it died in a way what would happen to it would have happened even in the house of the first shoyel, then there's no responsibility, assuming it's bal avimai, mesmach b'zlocha, whatever the case is. So, had you been a goslin, then the second, you should be chayv no matter what. A gazlan has to pay no matter what happens to the item. So the mechaber sounds like this Trumas Hadeshin, that although you're not supposed to lend it out, you do not become a gazlan if you do so.
So what is the tangible isser, if you want to call it?
You're being mishana midas balabayis. Whenever you borrow something, whenever you take something, we'll discuss later, if you borrow it for a specific use, and you change the use. So assuming it's not a more difficult use, it's just a different use. So if you want to know, are you allowed to do it? Again, we'll discuss that. We'll have to discuss the different shitas. But Pashas is not allowed to because the Baal Bayis said, "I want you to do this." Now, if the Baal Bayis made a tenai, "I'm giving it to you for this only, and if you violate this, you're a god, you have no right to use it." So then you violate the tonight, the condition, you're a gosling. But there very often it doesn't rise to that level. It's not a tonight. It's not like the whole brishos is given or contingent on this. In that case, you're not a gosling. You're just doing an avlo. You're being established with someone else's money. So that the Truma Zadeshan learns that's what happens over here, and therefore, if a person is really desperate to be Mekadesh and Isha and you only have a borrowed ring, according to the Truma Zadeshan, that would work. Lamdafka. There's machlokes in the Gemara where the Kol Mashanami Das Baal Bais is Nikra Gazlan, and we paskin that he is not a Gazlan. So although very often you're not supposed to do it, again, we'll have to discuss when you are allowed to change and when you're not, when you borrow for specific use. But you're lav dafke gazlin just because you're not, you're using it for a different use. She has to know that it's going back, exactly, that she only has a temporary use. Otherwise, it's a tayus. She was willing to marry him in exchange for a ring that's hers. She's not willing, lav dafke willing to marry him for the temporary use of a ring. Okay, so let's deal with just a few practical cases. You go to a shir, and it's a fascinating shir in Hilchos She'ela. So you decide to write notes. Now you forgot your pen at home. So you borrow a pen from someone else in the shir. You're writing your notes, and suddenly an oinus happens. Are you responsible for the pen? Anybody? What? An oinus. If you're writing and it runs out of ink, that would be meis machmas balacha. But let's say you're writing, an oinus happens. Again, we don't really want to use two extreme cases, but lightning strike, the pen is gone. It's an oinus. You'll use your imagination to come up with a good case. What? Well, he's there, but that does make a difference. You took it into your possession. You started using it. You made a kinyan. You're now a shoyl. Should be chayiv. So there's a Gemara which we learned in the Maror Mekaymis that has a few shailos. Machlokes Rishonim how to learn this Gemara. Gemara wants to know like this: what happens if a person borrows boi roim bar chama? So the Gemara says like this: shaala lasis ba pachus mi pruta mahu. You borrow an item to use. You're a shail. But you're using it in order for something that its value is less than a pruta. The Gemara wants to know, perhaps to become a shoyl is when you borrow something. You're the one that's benefiting from the use. Now, normally, if you have something that's worth less than a pruta, that's it's considered insignificant, it's not considered mamon. So the Gemara suggests, the Gemara is not sure, but the Gemara suggests that if you borrow something, but the use that you have that you're getting from it is worth less than a pruta, you do not have the din of a shayla. So l'chayra, if you're borrowing a pen or a pencil, assuming that a pencil writing notes from a shir is worth less than a pruta, which it probably is, you figure out how much a pencil is worth and how much you pay per use, it comes out to a pretty immaterial amount. So in that case, because the use is worth less than a shavah pruta, you would not have a din of a shayl. Now, Chorayim say you will have a din of a shayl or sachar. So if it's gneva aveder, you're going to be responsible for regardless. But if it's nanas, if an oinus happens, there you're going to be potter. What? Okay, but the notes, you didn't borrow the notes, you borrowed the pen. Now, it's true you use that to produce something that has value. But we don't look at what the production is. We look at the actual hishtamshus. Scribbling, a few lines or a page from, a standard number 2 pencil, the value of that is probably less than a pruta. So we're looking at the use, not what comes out of it.
Borrowing a big pen and borrowing a cross pen.
Correct. Correct. You could argue the value of using an expensive pen for an hour might be worth an apruta, and that's a reasonably good argument. And on the other hand, using a number 2 pencil, the old-fashioned ones, as it is, it's not worth that much more than apruta when an entire pencil. And certainly, using it for an hour is going to be significantly less than apruta.
This shayla
would apply
even if that's the normal use.
L'chayra. We'll get back. We'll get to that svar a little bit later, but l'chayra, at least by apruta. Next case. Your daughter is going out. the prospective chassan is coming in an hour or two. You need to impress him. So you knock on your neighbor's door. You know, you have a beat-up Camry. You knock on your neighbor has a nice Lexus. And you say, listen, I need to impress the chassan, the client, whatever your example is. Can you please park your car in my driveway for an hour or two? Oh, very good. The other person says, yes, my daughter's also going out. I want the Camry. Now, that case actually might not be a good case because there might be both of you, because they're swapping, so it might be a seicher. But putting that aside, what happens if your mazel, the chassan, pulls up and smashes the Lexus? What happens if there's an oinus? So, again, you borrow the car. Now, although using a number two pencil for an hour is worth less than a prutza, renting a Lexus, even to sit in your driveway, is probably worth more than a shava prutza. However, here we have the next Gemara that says, shalu lirois ba mahu. If you borrow an item, but you borrow it not to use, but just to show off. So here the Gemara wants to know, mamayna b'idam v'yeka. On one hand, it's money. It's a Lexus. It has value. The use has value. So the Gemara, no. Perhaps Sheila is you borrow an item. I borrow a hammer. I'm using the hammer. I'm getting hana from the actual item, from its use. When you're just using it to show off, you have no right to drive in the car. You have no right to sit in the car. He doesn't even give you the keys. It's just there to impress other people. So although impressing people has value, still, since it is not a tangible use of the item, the Gemara says perhaps that does not have a din of a shayla. So this also, the Gemara clears the shayla, the Gemara is not pleshet the shayla, and therefore, you're not going to be able to mechayev him in such a case. He will not have the din of a shayla. What? Even if you made a kinyan, it's true you have a kinyan. You now have the right to, if let's say 20 minutes later he wants to take it away, you can say no. I have a kinyan. I have the right to use it, but this use is not the normal use of a shayl. You're not using the actual item. You're just using it to show off. It's not an inherent use, and therefore the Gemara declares and says perhaps you're not a shayl.
But there is risk sitting in my driveway more than his driveway possible.
Correct. There's risk more than that. The owner cannot use it during this period. But for shoyl, the pshat is, shoyl is kolhan o shaloi, you have the use of the item. If you're not using the item, you're just getting this side benefit that you're impressing people where people think it's yours, that's not called the use of an item. And there the Gemara says perhaps it's not a shoyl.
Maybe,
if it's in his driveway, it would probably be a chutzah. What? A driveway is very likely mishtameris. It's very hard for things to if he's there. Doesn't mean there's an armed guard. What? No, but it's a chutzah. But in this case, it's got a technical problem, which I really want to discuss next week. But if the owner drove it in, he delivered it to you, then it's balavima. Because the owner is working for you. Working for you doesn't mean he's getting paid. It means he's doing something for you at the moment you become a shayla. So unless you start being mechalik and say that while he was driving, it wasn't a shayla. It's only when he parked the car. At that point, it's in his chatzah. Oh, fine. Good. And in the sugya of Balavim, we're going to have to discuss that. And there are times where you say such a svar. And good, we'll have to... But... Technically speaking, you have to be careful. In a case where the person delivers it, it may be balavimai. But putting that aside, since you're not using the actual item, there the Gemara says is masopik whether you have a din of a shayl. What happens? Switch the case slightly. You have the same. You know, your business, your client is coming in. You have to impress him. So here he's coming into your office. Parking a Lexus outside is not going to do anything. So instead, you borrow an expensive painting. You hang it up in your conference room, redecorate, and you impress your client. Do you become a shoyl on the painting or not? What? It's a usage. Now, what are you doing with it? He's coming in. He looks at the painting. He's impressed. You're not doing it. You're not eating the painting. You're not wearing the painting. What? Oh, very good. Zaviyar Sameach. This din is cars are there to drive. Cars are not there to look at. Although again, a Lexus, I'm not sure. Maybe the Iker Shtamishas is to show off to people. But I'll call upon him. It's also there. I hope no one. Does anybody here have a Lexus? Let's talk about Lamborghinis instead. So it's there. It's there. Although it might also be to impress other people, there's also a Hishtamshus. People drive it. They enjoy it. They use it. And therefore, in such a case where you're borrowing it, but you don't have the regular use for it, there we say it's not called a shaloi. This is not the regular she'ela. However, if the whole tachlis of a painting, the whole use, anyway, that's what the owners do. You use it, it's just to look at. It's just there for show. There, the achrayim say, that everyone would agree, would have a din of a shaloi. Now, there's a similar case. This is really less of a chiddush, but my bit says if you borrow jewelry. So jewelry is just there for people to, it doesn't keep you warm, it doesn't really have any functionality, it's just there for the fact, for its looks. So there also, that everyone would agree has a din of ishtamshus. It's wearing it, it's probably more pashut. So in that case, you would have a din of a shoyal and you'd be chayav l'kulayam. Okay, one last case from this Gemara. Is you have a bacher, it's Seiv's man, he was getting a little bit ungesetzt after Purim. So he had a friend who had brought an iPad to yeshiva. So he borrowed it, he wanted to use it for something that he probably shouldn't have been using it for. He borrows the iPad, sure enough, he gets caught, it gets confiscated. Is he responsible to pay? So, first, as far as the fact that you're using it just to look at it or to watch it, clearly that's considered, it's not called Leroy's, that's called Hishtamshus, that would not be enough to patra. However, there's a Mechudish, what? Perhaps, but on the other hand, if the yeshiva has rules, you bring this to yeshiva, it gets confiscated, it is likely the yeshiva has the right to take it away. Perhaps. But you're allowed to do a mitzvah with someone else's money. Maybe you have to take it away and reimburse him. Okay, that perhaps we'll get to. But there are two reasons why it's not so pashut over here. The first reason, the Gemara wants to know, shal l'rava mahu. Person borrows a shor, an animal, to do an aveira with. And the Gemara says, the Gemara has a suffix. Is this mahu? Ki d'shayli inshi b'inon l'hochi lo shayli inshi? Aydil matayim hay misham hano v'hay nami isbe lehano. So Pashup Pshat, the Gemara is just saying that to do an Aveira with an animal is abnormal. An abnormal use is not called a She'ela, and therefore you don't have the regular halachas. If that's the case, if you're borrowing an iPad to watch something, that's clearly a normal use, and clearly you would be chayv. However, there's a very mechudish de Aruch HaShulchan that says that the Pshat over here is that when you're using something for a Dvar Aveira, he says that perhaps you don't become a She'ela. A shayla is you're using something for a dvar mitzvah, you're using it for a dvar rishos. But to borrow something specifically to do an ave, to do an isra with, Aruch HaShulchan says that perhaps does not have the chiyuvim of a shayla. Im kein, if the bacher borrowed it, so if the owner thought he was going to watch shiurim on it, or he has svarim on it, and that's what he was going to use it for, then good, he'd be a shayla. However, if he knew that he was going to use it for a Dvar Isser, according to this Aruch HaShulchan, it would come out that he'd be Pater. Now, there is another Cheshbon, which, again, I don't want to go into, we'll discuss it more next week, but it is possible it's considered a Meis Machmas Malacha. That if the Bacher knew good and well that it was being borrowed, that it was in Yeshiva, it was being used in a place where if he gets caught, it will be confiscated. So perhaps the owner, that was a risk the owner was assuming by giving it to you and allowing it to use in such circumstances, and therefore perhaps it would be Machas Malacha. It'll be telling Machas Rishayim, and we'll get to that Meretz Hashem next week. What? No. All of these cases are when you borrowed it specifically for that use. You know, it's like this. Let's say you borrow something and use it for less than a prutza. You can't say I'm not a shoyl. The case is when the person who lent it to you only gave it to use for less than a Sheva Prutza. So in this case as well, that you borrowed it stam and then you do an aveira with, you're right. In that case, everyone agree you're chayiv. It's only when a person specifically lent it to you for dvar aveira, they are according to this aruch hashulchan, you'd have it. You're correct. It had to be where the person, when he gave it to you, he knew good and well in adrab, you only had the right to use it for that. Okay, so now let's switch to a bit of a more positive case, and that is, what happens if a person borrows a sefer? You want to learn from it? What is the halacha? So there's a tshuva saran, it's brought down in Siman Ayin Beis. The case is a little bit more complicated. The case is actually someone borrowed money, and he gave the lender a mashkin. He gave him sefer as collateral, and he allowed him to use it. So does the lender have a din of a shoyl on this sefer, or not? So the first discussion you have to figure out is, you have to figure out why when and why he gave him the right to use it. If you borrow money and you give collateral to the lender, and then the next day the lender calls you up and says, you know what, I'm holding on to your collateral anyway, can I use it? And you say, sure. Okay, ribbis we'll get to. Ribbis, it depends whether he would have allowed you to use it in the absence of the loan. But assuming he would have, you know, they're good friends. So in that case, you have a din of a shayl. Because you're allowing him to use it, you have no benefit from the use. It's kohan ashalai, and typically in such a case, the malva would have the dinam of a shayl, and you'd be responsible for anything that happened. Masha einkein, if at the time that you borrow the money, somehow you avoid the problem of ribbis, but the lender says I'm gonna lend you this item, but I want a mashkin, and you have to allow me to use the mashkin. So again, putting the ribbis issue aside. In that case, it's not a shayl. Because it's true you have the right to use it, and it's true he's not paying you rent per se, but it's part of a deal. This person, the loiva, is getting the use of the money. He's borrowing the money. In exchange, he's giving the malva the item, and he's allowing him to use it. Since there are benefits flowing both ways, even though it's not specifically called rent, once there is benefits being received by the owner, it doesn't have the din of a shoyl, it would have the din of a seich. Correct. We have to deal with balavimai. Now, what happens in the case of a sefer? Along comes the Ran and says a tremendous chiddush. Zok the Ran, the malva is potter. Why? He says, when you lend someone a sefer, you're doing a mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, the halacha is, whenever you're doing a mitzvah, if you're doing a mitzvah, and while you're doing the mitzvah, and Ani knocks on your door and asks for its tzedakah, otherwise you can say, I'm sorry, I'm potter. I don't have to give you, I'm busy with my other mitzvah. Because of this, it's machlokes in the Gemara, but because of this, by a shomer aveda, because when he's busy with the aveda, he does not have to give a pruta to tzedakah, he has a din of a shomer sacher. Zok v'ran, who I din over here? Since the person who's lending you the sefer is doing a mitzvah by lending you the sefer, since he's doing a mitzvah, if an ani comes, he doesn't have to give him tzedakah. That means the owner is benefiting, is basically making money or potentially making money by this she'ela. Since he has a benefit, zok the ran, you don't have a din of a shayol, you will have a din of a shomer sacher. No. So it means, and the Achrayim discuss exactly when, but it means while you're actually doing it. So the point is, if the ani is coming around at that point, you're potter, and it seems that the assumption is the ani will, once you say no, or once you don't give him right away, he'll move on to the next person, and therefore you have a potential gain. But 100%, just because it's oisik b'mitzvah is because you're busy with it, so even though you could stop, you don't have a chiv to stop. But in a chanami, if the ani waits until you're done, at that point, there would be a chiv to give him. No, because Adrab, you see from here that even though you may not gain, an ani may not knock on your door at that moment, the fact that you could gain is enough to become a shomer sacher. So the Ran paskins, because of this, you do not have a din of a shoyl, you only have a din of a seicher, a shomer sacher, and you're not responsible for einzim. Comes along the Shach and says, wait a second. This halacha pruta to Rav Yosef is a machlokes. Because who says an ani will come? Is that really worth a pruta? So therefore, the Shach says, this is a machlokes. Shach passes and holds the sake of the dina. And therefore, the Shach says the halach of the round is not so poshut. It's a suffix. It's totally whether pruta de Yosef is enough to make you into a shomer sachar. And therefore, the Shach argues and says it's a suffix. Perhaps you do have a din of a shach. Comes along the Ktzayis and says a tremendous chiddush. If you bought, what happens if you borrow something and you pay the owner less than a pruta to use it? Do you have a din of a shoyo or a din of a seicher? Normally, a seicher is someone who pays rent. Rent is usually a pruta. What happens if you pay rent less than a pruta? Zach Ktzayis a chiddush. By hilchus, by a shoyol, there's no such din of a pruta. Even if you give less than a pruta, still that's enough to knock you down from a shoyol to a seicher. Therefore, Zach Ktzayis, even though when you're watching something and you have a pruta to Rabbi Yosef, we have mochagis whether you're shomer chinuch or shomer sachar. That's because to become a shomer sachar, you have to pay someone a pruta. Giving him a half a pruta doesn't make him into a shomer sachar. However, if you have someone who's a shoyol, who's paying less than a pruta of rent, the Ktzayis says that's enough to make you a shoyol, it's not kolon ashaloy anymore, you become a seicher. And therefore, Zakta Ktzayis, l'kuliyama, even if you argue on pruta de Rav Yosef, the fact that there is some small, or some any amount of benefit is enough to say you're not a shoyol anymore, and you have the din of a seicher, and you're potter on einsim. Zakta Ktzayis, but we have another problem here. Why should the malva be a shayl? He's borrowing the sefer. What do you do with a sefer? You learn with it. Why do you learn with it? Does that have value? It teretz the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Zok tzeis, we know mitzvahs lav lahanas nitna. Doing a mitzvah is not called hana. Not something that has value. It's doing a mitzvah. You do a mitzvah because there's a chiyuv to do a mitzvah. It's not called a hana in halacha. Is the same way when you borrow something, either, again, different achroinim, either, and you use it, but it's worth, for less than a pruta worth of use, or, the same way if you borrow something, and it's just lirois, just to show off, you're not using the actual item, is over here. Since learning is not called a hana, it's just a dvar mitzvah, mitzvah is not called a benefit, therefore, you cannot become a shoyol when you're using something only for a dvar mitzvah. In which case it would come out, hu hadin, anytime you borrow someone's talis, you borrow someone's esrog and lulav, anytime you're using something only for a dvar mitzvah, the Ktzayis says it's not called hana, and you do not have a din of a shayel.
If you, you yourself borrow a sefer from somebody, and you're using it for your function in the basement, it's, you're learning, yes, but you're also using the profession where it's going to enhance your parnassah.
Okay, well, if you're talking about me, the Dayarim and Bezim Esharim don't get paid for Dinei Torah. So there, that would be no Shaila whatsoever. Now, if the person is getting paid, so the Nesivus argues on the Ktzayis and says, what happens if you're giving shir and you're getting paid to do the learning? He says, Enechlami. He says, because of that, even though Mitzvah Lav and Artis Nitnu, since you could use it professionally, he says you're a Svara to argue on the Ktzayis. Enechlami. The Nesivus Taka argues for that reason. But Ktzayis is a chiddush. Anytime it's a dvar mitzvah, you can't be a shoyl because it's not called hano. It's not a hano. It's not called a hano. What? You have the din of a seicher. It's not called an ashalay. In all these cases where there's no hano or no hano of a pruta, you are responsible. You are a shomer, but you are a shomer seicher. However, in mahana, you don't have a din of a shoyl. Oh, what? But based on what we said before, many Achronim will argue. Why? Because we discussed before that if you borrow the Lamborghini just to show off, what's the halacha? You're not a shoyl, because you're not using the actual item. What happens if you borrow the painting? So there we said a svara. Since the whole tachlis, the whole use of the painting is to hang on a wall, you have that use, you're going to be a shoyl, whether or not it has this benefit, whether it's called lirois or not. So, zog the Imre Yosha, who I didn't over here. What do you have a sefer for? You have it to learn. You're getting whatever the owner gets from this item. Since you're using it for whatever the owner's use is, that is enough to become a shoyol. You're going to be responsible, whether or not it has a din of laharois or eshtamshes and gavachefetz, perhaps also by Shavu Pruta, you can use the svara. And therefore, he uses the argues on the Ketzayis and says that you're going to be a Shoyal regardless. Now, the Nesivus has a little bit of a different approach. The Nesivus argues and says, argues on the Ketzayis, he says that it is called a Hana. He also argues with the whole Prutus Rav Yosef over here, and, Chavetz Chaim really makes a similar point. He wants to know like this. We're saying, according to the Ran, that whenever you're doing a mitzvah, if you're potter, you're oisik mitzvah, potter mitzvah, and therefore when you lend someone a sefer, it's not a shayol because you're gaining, you don't have to give tzedakah. Every single time you lend something to a person, we should have the same cheshbon. When I lend it to you, I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm being mashal to you. Oisik mitzvah, potter mitzvah. So the owner is always benefiting it by lending it out. So when do you ever have a case of shayol that has to pay? So again, you could be mantcha, he's not doing anything. It's just standing there. He says, go take it. So there's not oisik ben mitzvah, it's eshel kayim shneyim. Others rather say, we're out of time, but others say that there's no chiyuv to lend people an item. There's a mitzvah in kesef talva, but that will not apply to a chayfetz. Chavetz Chaim points out that it certainly is a mitzvah, and he says also by an ani, everyone agreed there is a mitzvah to lend a chevitz to an ani. So the Chavetz Chaim is another cheshbon. What do we want to say? We want to say that if you lend something out, because you're potter from Prutus Rabbi Yosef, the borrower should not have dinim of shayil, because the lender is gaining something. What's he gaining? He doesn't have to do tzedakah. Wait a second. Why doesn't he have to give tzedakah? Because being oisik mitzvah, he's lending it out. What's the mitzvah of lending it out? He says, it's also a mitzvah of either tztaka or chesed. Zakah Chavetz Chaim, the fact that when I'm doing one tztaka, I'm potter from another tztaka, he says, there's no prutus Rabbi Yosef. Anyway, you're being oisik in that mitzvah. There's no halacha that I'm giving one ani money, so now we say there's prutus Rabbi Yosef, I'm gaining, I don't have to give him a second ani at the same time. Therefore, Zakah Chavetz Chaim, since either way it's a mitzvah of chesed or tztaka, or we're giving to an ani, you're being kind of a mitzvah of tztaka by lending it out to an ani, the fact that you don't have to give a different stalker at the same time is not called a hana, and that's why the shayol would be chayiv. Sure. Again, we're out of time. I'll get back. I know this is a little bit unclear. We'll get back to it next week.